Well, we begin in Sudan, where the World Food Programme says one of its warehouses has come under attack. Armed men looted the facility containing tens of thousands of tons of food and supplements in Al Obeid, that's in south-central Sudan. It's one of the largest logistic hubs of the United Nations agency in Africa. The WFP says it will put more than 4 million people caught in conflicts at risk. Well, let's speak to Hiba Morgan. She joins us now from Omdurman, that's across the River Nile from Khartoum. Hiba, let's start with what we're hearing now from the WFP. We have heard that aid agencies have been saying that looting has been going on. I mean, the situation was already dire.
Yes, indeed. Now, the looting did not start just 2 days ago with the World Food Programme, but it started at the very beginning of the conflict in mid-April. World Food Programme warehouses in the western part of the country in Darfur were also looted. In the capital, Khartoum, warehouses belonging to the UN, to several UN agencies and their offices have been looted as well. That's affected the aid operations here in the country. Now, we're talking about at least 80,000 metric tons of food that have been looted since the start of the conflict, affecting more than 4 million people as per the World Food Programme. Most of them are located in the Darfur region, where the fighting has affected millions of people, cutting them from basic humanitarian assistance. And then there's those here in the capital, Khartoum, with aid organizations being looted, with the warehouses being affected, and with no humanitarian corridors opened, millions of people remain in the capital, unable to access humanitarian assistance, and the little that is coming through is not enough for those who are in the capital, waiting for that assistance or looking for ways to leave the capital to safer zones where they can find basic food commodities.
Hiba, you're there on the ground. Now, despite all the diplomatic efforts we've been talking about for weeks now, the fighting has been continuing. I see Washington is now turning up the pressure. Is that likely to make any kind of difference?
Well, first of all, let's take a look at the companies that have been sanctioned. The companies that produce weapons, ammunition, and vehicles for both sides, two of them affiliated to the Rapid Support Forces, and two of them belonging to the Sudanese army. So it looks like the United States is trying to put pressure on these companies to make sure that there are no more weapons procured, there are no more vehicles procured, and therefore this conflict does not last longer than it should. Now, it's not clear if this would have an immediate impact on the ground. It's worth noting that experts and analysts think that both sides have prepared for this conflict a long time ago, especially the Rapid Support Forces, which have been building their troops over the past 4 years. When it comes to the army, you also have the industrial systems and complexes which have been set up during sanctions era here in Sudan. So it's not clear what immediate impact this would have. But the talks in Jeddah that is supposed to bring a ceasefire between the Sudanese army and the Rapid Support Forces are currently suspended because of repeated violations. Mm. So while, yes, efforts have been ongoing to try to get the two sides to agree on some sort of temporary ceasefire for humanitarian aid to come in, the fact that there's been numerous violations and, as per the mediators, there's lack of seriousness by both sides to actually implement any ceasefire, fighting very much continues on the ground, with civilians still remaining trapped in the middle between the two warring sides.
Hiba Morgan there with all the latest for us from Omdurman on the ground there in Sudan. Thank you, Hiba. Well, let's now bring in Aida El-Sayed. She is the Secretary General of the Sudanese Red Crescent Society. She joins us now on the line from Port Sudan. Aida, let me start by asking you how your operations are going right now, given what we're hearing from other aid agencies about looting.
Thank you. We are here in Port Sudan, Sudanese Red Crescent. We're giving support for the people who move from the Khartoum to Port Sudan to find their way to find the secure area. Sudanese Red Crescent has provided them with food, various aid, and mobile clinic and psychological support for the people who have been put in a shelter area so that we can support them. The IDPs from Khartoum and some people that from other countries.
Sure. Aida, I understand that Port Sudan has been under curfew. The state government was speaking of rebellious sleeper cells. Has that curfew impacted your work there?
Actually, it is 1 day, and completely the next day we continue delivering the aid for other states in Sudan, like aid for Khartoum and Jazeera and northern states, where heavy population moved there.
Sure. Given that we're hearing these reports of looting from a number of other aid agencies, are there concerns that any of your supplies are being looted, especially as you try to move them around the country?
Yes. Our main store in Khartoum and the headquarters, they all have been looted from the beginning of the war.
I'm very sorry to hear that. How are you dealing with that, especially within the context of the security situation as well? Obviously, we've been hearing from our correspondent, fighting is ongoing, despite the fact that there was supposed to be a truce. How much aid are you actually managing to get into the capital?
Right now, we're doing paramedic with the medical staff in the hospitals. We're distributing food jointly with WFP. Mm-hmm. That has been already inside Khartoum, and we try to get more food through the River Nile state, distributed for the vulnerable people there. And we do psychological support, and we do the burial of the dead body in Khartoum.
It's obviously a very, very busy time for you. You're at the moment in Port Sudan, I understand. That has become obviously a huge aid hub. You were talking about people, huge amounts of people who are still there. Is it very much still a major evacuation route?
There is some evacuation is being done with some Arabic country, but still a big number is still there. And most of the people who come, they are people who move from Khartoum. Mm-hmm. And they don't think about going abroad. These people, they just run away from the war in Khartoum. But there is some foreign people, they are really want to cross the border, but they working in that with the UNHCR and with the government of the state.
Sure. How are they coping, the people who've tried to get out of Khartoum and are ending up in Port Sudan? Is there the resources to deal with such huge crowds?
Actually, if they have all the paper, all the document, and if there is a way to evacuate them to their country, it will be done immediately. As we see that the people who have, I witnessed that by myself, people who have were resident in Qatar, for example, they have been evacuated by the plane every 3 days. That's what we see here in Port Sudan.
Sorry, I was actually asking about the people, the Sudanese people who are coming from Khartoum. Just wondering what kind of state they're arriving in Port Sudan.
The people who arrive from Khartoum, some of them, they stay with the families in the houses. Some of them, they rent houses. But some of them, they still staying in the shelter where we distribute food for them and water, and we do the mobile clinic, as I said to you.
Ida El Sayed there.
A big group of them, they are not here.
Well, Ida, I wanted to let you go because I know it's a very busy time for you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Al Jazeera. Ida El Sayed, the Secretary General of the Sudanese Red Crescent Society. We wish you all the best with your work, Ida.